Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Celebrating 10 years of award-winning car talk, this is what this is, a celebration. It's the In Wheel Time car show. Today, coming to you live from the monthly Tailpipes and Tacos cruise in at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy, Texas. Coming up, another guest here from the collection of fine cars here at the Cruise Inn. We'll have the car clinic. We got this week's automotive news headlines. Howdy, along with Mike out of this world, Mars. We need more Jeff Zekin. The fabulous David Ainsley. I'm Don Armstrong. King Conrad's on the phone with us. We were hoping to hear from Stan Holt, but I just got a text from him about 20 minutes ago. He says, short rain delay. I have a few minutes, followed by, sorry, they're calling us to the lanes. Super stock to the lanes. So he is in Brainerd, Minnesota, racing as of this morning before racing started. He was qualified number sixth in the super stock category.
Is it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon?
Yeah.
At the dragway.
Well, yeah, I think that they've been there pretty much all week.
Yeah, I think Stan they got up there like on Wednesday.
Oh.
Headed out. They had to be there on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So are the Emmons brothers up there as well?
I don't know whether the Emmons are up there or not, if Stan, and I think that
Dale, I think Dale said they were leaving on Monday.
Yeah,
they had to be there either Tuesday or Wednesday to tech in.
Correct.
And then what, Indy's next week, the week after, or 2 weeks after?
It's 2 weeks.
2 weeks after.
Yeah. So, at any rate, they're making the rounds in a cooler part of the United States. I think high temperature today in Brainerd is like 85. All right, Mr. Mars.
Definitely cooler than here. And speaking of
cool,
out there in the back parking lot, there's kind of a unique vehicle for coming out here. It's not really it's not a muscle car, but it is a 1951 MG that's kind of a survivor, kind of original, kind of got a nice story to go with it. And Curtis Greider is the owner that's going to tell us about it. Howdy, Curtis.
Hello.
It's a 51 MG.
Yes, sir. It's got a 78 Ford Pinto drivetrain in it.
Why?
That's what it had when I bought it. My plan is to do a 93 Mustang drivetrain and fuel inject it so that it's...
You got a V8?
Four-cylinder.
A four-cylinder.
2.3.
Got it.
And I'm going to put the T5 in it, and I want to do disc brakes all the way around so that it's a little more drivable. It's... 1950 brakes in the front and 78 in the back, and they don't agree with each other all the time. So
I assume that the drums probably want to lock up when you actually...
It's a pick on which one wants to lock up at a different time. It's never the same one twice.
Yeah.
It's bump it, feather it, hit it.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
So how is that 51 MG to drive? I have to tell you that from my experience, of course, you know, a 51 MG meant that it was probably designed either prior to World War II or right after World War II.
It was prior to World War II that was the only tooling they had after World War II, and they just kept producing the same car.
Yeah.
It drives actually fairly well.
It does?
Yes. On the freeway, it's a little darty, because you have no camber or caster adjustment. But that's why I'm...
Darty.
I'm wanting to upgrade the suspension so that I can get it where I can drive it on the freeway. My goal is to go to the small car shows in the little towns around.
Yeah.
And take my wife out and go country cruising.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Knickknacks.
It's my Harley replacement.
Oh.
I got to where my legs were messing up, and I couldn't ride my Harley anymore.
Well, I sure am glad that you graduated from the Harley to four wheels.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, I figure if my leg falls asleep in this, I can sit there till it wakes up, and I ain't going to fall over.
There you go.
Now, from here, the distance, to me, that looks like a Morgan.
It's an MG.
It's an MG. It's the TD is the... is the classification, the NGTD.
And also, didn't they also make a Bug Eye version?
They made
that was an earlier version.
A Morris Minor, which looked a lot like it was designed after the Volkswagen.
Okay, but it had the bug eye look.
But it had the bug eye look to it. Yes, okay. It looked like a squashed 50 model, basically.
Okay,
you know,
squashed.
And we got a friend that I go to a car show that has one, but it's all modified. And we have another gentleman comes to the same show with a completely original one.
Wow.
Ooh.
And I mean, don't
get me wrong. I have a lot of respect for originality, and there is a place in my book, anyway, for originals. But that's not one that I would say, let's keep it original. Well, because like we've talked about, you know, the technology was pre-World War II. And let's face it, the technology back then just wasn't all that.
That is true. Now, surprisingly, the 51 MG does have rack and pinion factory.
Really?
Yes, sir. Manual rack factory.
Hmm. Well,
and
it's a step in the right direction.
The front brakes were done with two wheel cylinders for some strange reason. It's got twin cylinders in the front brakes. And then the rears were conventional.
How weird.
Yes, it is.
Of course, it is a British vehicle.
Yeah, and the reason I bought it, the guy that was selling it.
You were trying to torture yourself with this car? Or?
No, his wife. I can't put his wife in it.
I can't leave nothing alone.
Uh-oh.
And since this one already had a Pinto drivetrain in it, I can't hurt it.
Yeah.
So all I'm going to do, I'm going to try and get fuel injected. I'm going with motorcycle high booster throttle bodies on the four-cylinder. And going to go with fuel injection, going to redo the front suspension, four-wheel disc brake.
How long have you had this car?
About 3 years.
Okay. You have?
Yeah.
So you've been kind of
tinkering.
Making a plan, as it were.
I've been gathering parts.
Have you?
Yes. I've got the motor. I've got the rear end. I've got the transmission. I have to shorten the rear end 9 inches to fit under the car.
Do you do the work yourself, or you have a shop?
Most of the work I do myself.
Okay.
Cool. I work at a machine shop, so
That's
can make most anything I need.
I was going to say, you got the connection there.
And my brother is an excellent welder, so I can fab it up and he can weld it.
Sweet.
I have friends that do about anything need to be done. So.
And I noticed this left-hand drive, was that something that was just because or because they do make them right-hand, but that's more of the British?
All the ones in the... for Britain were right-hand drive, but after the war they started producing them left-hand drive for export to the United States because of all the soldiers that were driving them over there and was wanting them, that they found they had a new market, so they were producing them both ways, and they were shipping all those over here for the soldiers that they come back that wanted.
So what's the history on that car, do you know?
Not really. I bought it from a used car lot, and the guy said he'd had it about 2 years and nobody come look at it because he had Pinto motor listed as what was in it. And I'm like, well, if you'd have listed it as a Lima 2.3, you'd have had a few people look at it. But the Pinto had such a bad stigma as the car explodes.
Well, which had nothing to do with the motor.
No, right. Nothing to do with the drivetrain. Really, it was only a bad gas tank design.
Although I have to tell you that I stupidly took on changing a water pump on a Ford Pinto one time in a Pinto. Well, it's not like a Chevy V8.
No.
There's no room. I had no skin left on my knuckles.
Oh, man.
It was that tight in there. But by God, I got that water pump changed. But what a pain, because there's no room in the front end. But at any rate, there was nothing wrong with the motor.
No, the motors were very good. They were used for several years.
Yeah.
Basically, the motor I'm putting in is the same lower block. Everything's the same on the lower end. It's just a different head design for the 93 Mustang. They went to the 8-plug head, and they did that for emission purposes. And...
Is this a carbureted car?
Right now it is. It's going to be fuel injected.
Okay. So they do make a kit for it?
Actually, it's got a Weber carburetor on it.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's put on backwards, to tell you the truth, because to run the linkage in the car.
Yes.
And So the inner two cylinders are always wet, and the outer two cylinders are always dry. And it's like, well, why don't you do something with this motor? I said, the inner two cylinders are wet, and the outer two cylinders are dry. Mm. If I got to redesign the wheel, let's do something a little newer.
A little more juice on it, too.
The car started out, would have come from the factory with about 50 horses. Right now, the motor would probably be about 75 horses that's in it.
Well, that doesn't weigh very much, an open cabin like that.
About 2,000 pounds.
Well, it's probably a fun car to drive.
Oh, it's a blast. And, I mean, I'm driving down the road looking over. People are videotaping me, rolling the windows down. What is it?
It happens to you a lot.
You know.
It does, except for different reasons.
Yeah, different reasons. And they're basically checking to see.
Mainly because, I drive a lot around town without a shirt on. And they're all enamored by my muscles and stuff.
I got you.
My wife told me not to go out without a shirt, so.
Yeah.
You know, happy wife, happy life.
And you got a lot of shirts, don't you?
Yes, I have a lot of shirts.
All right, so you got to get this thing changed over soon?
No, I'm getting ready to do an LS swap in my brother's 70 Cutlass convertible.
Oh.
And once I get it done...
Conrad's
listening.
He's twitching right now.
I have to tell you something. All of these car shows that I watch on television, they're putting LS motors in a engine bay that is lucky that you could get a four-cylinder in it, and there's a lot of cutting going on and rebuilding and firewalls, and I'm going, no,
integrity
way
and suspension,
out of line for me.
Well, the only thing we're going to have to really do is we're splitting the trans tunnel because we're putting the 6-speed automatic in it. So you have to split the trans tunnel open.
Get a little bit more room.
It's quite a bit taller.
A little bit more room. Oh, no, a lot more.
Yeah, it's about 2 inches taller.
You said your brother's a welder, so you can accomplish that in half an hour.
No, it's going to take a little longer than that. Yeah. It'll take me longer than that to get the seats out.
But as far as the engine compartment is big enough, though, because of what they did.
Got plenty of room. It has 45 in it now.
Yeah.
Well, you're putting an LS in it. You're widening the trans tunnel. You got to tub it.
No. This is more of a street car. He is not a racer.
He's just putting an LS 6-speed in it.
He wants to be able to drive it. And the 455 has had problems since we got it. We bought it out of a jet boat, and I think it's full of mud. It overheats at 2,000 RPM.
Well, it's used to having a lot of water to drink.
You open it up, there's a jellyfish in there.
So everybody I talked to said it's really not worth trying to rebuild the 45 after being a freshwater motor, especially if it's ever seen salt water.
Just the fact of the way they run those things, I've seen them,
And right now we have a 4080 in the Oldsmobile. So I'm pulling that out, and I'm going to put the 6L80 in it with the 6.2.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm thinking maybe for me, I'm going to come over to your house with the lawn chair and a big, tall glass of tea, and I'll sit by, and I'll be your champion.
No, beer. That way, when he's in trouble, you can say, hold my beer. Watch this. Help that out.
I can't drink beer.
No.
I haven't been able to drink beer for 30 years.
We had a gentleman on that does whiskey, so. Get you all together.
I don't drink any alcohol. It shuts my liver down. The enzymes in my, doesn't make the enzymes to filter.
I got you.
So
that's what my problem is.
Enzymes?
No filter.
When you can drink a beer and be sick for 2 days, it's easy to quit.
Do that. Yeah, no, I
yeah,
hear you.
That's a good
Well,
good
thank
way
you,
quit.
Sir, for stopping by. We really
well,
appreciate
thank you. For
you.
Very
having
interesting.
Me.
Very cool.
Good luck. Hope to see you again next month.
I'll try and make it.
All right, brother.
Y'all have a very good day.
Thank you.
You do the same. All right, time now here on the In Wheel Time Car Show for the Car Clinic. Do you want Conrad to do it on the phone, or would you like to do it?
I've got it here.
Conrad, did you want to do this on the phone, or?
Yeah, I can do it. Jeff's more than capable of handling it.
No, you know, go ahead, sir.
Well, and it's interesting because you've talked to a number of people today that talked about engines overheating, and that was my topic for the day.
Perfect.
With summer in full swing, temperatures are rising, so are the risk of overheating your engine. After all, the sun is baking your car to 100, about 100 degrees, and then the engine starts to warm up from there. So once the engine warms up, it can be significant damage can happen pretty early. There are many factors that affect engine temperature, external temperature, the way the water's flowing through the system, the way the air is flowing through the radiator, and all of those things have an impact on engines overheating. You know, think about the people we've talked to today. Some of them talked about, you know, the engine overheating, and he was going to bore the engine, which is, and Don even noted, that's going to make the engine run hotter. And then others talked about not having a big enough radiator. Well, one of the troubles, one of the simpler troubles, are the and most common for your engine overheating is a stuck thermostat. A thermostat opens and closes to keep the engine at an operating temperature. So when the engine's cool, the thermostat stays closed, so the engine warms up. And then once the engine warms up, the thermostat opens, so the engine cools down. Well, over time, a thermostat can stick and not open and close anymore. Another concern is the quality of the coolant in your engine. Your thermostat may be working correctly, but some of the other reasons an engine can overheat is because the coolant passages inside the engine are clogged or clotted up with that white crusty stuff. Kind of looks like my toes.
Gross.
And the passages, the water passages within the engine can be full of what's called scale or rust or other debris. There may not be enough coolant in your engine, and that can be caused by the long-term evaporation of coolant inside the reservoir or improperly filling it with coolant. Low coolant level can do damage relatively quick. And then your coolant may not be diluted to the correct concentration. You know, you got to remember, engine coolant, the right mixture means it freezes at a lower temperature, but it also means that it boils at a higher temperature. So, you know, you can get coolant at the correct mixture, might not boil till about 250 degrees. So having the correct mixture of coolant in your engine is very, very important. And then water pump. Water pump is what moves the water through the engine. And a water pump failure can cause a leak, but there are also some water pump failures that are caused by the coolant becoming corrosive. And as the coolant becomes corrosive, the little blades on the water pump, inside the water pump, they can literally rust away. And then when you take the water pump off, there's no blades inside of there. So the water pump hasn't been circulating water. And then, of course, a radiator being too small, that it just doesn't extract enough heat from the engine for an assortment of reasons. One is not enough coolant passes through it, but another one is not enough air passes through it. And on a lot of modified cars, as they do the radiator, they leave off the little blades on the side of the radiator that forces or the shroud that forces the air through the radiator, and that has an impact on a vehicle's cooling. So you have to direct the airflow correctly as well as get the water to flow correctly. And then finally, you know, the hassles of hoses. You know, a hose leak, a hose collapsing can all cause engine overheating. Whether you're planning on doing a multi-state road trip or just cruising around the neighborhood, your car deserves top-notch care. Have your vehicle checked out by a professional so you won't lose your cool on the side of the road as your engine's billowing steam as it's overheating. That's today's Conrad's Corner.
It's the car clinic, and we thank you for that. I have to tell you that, you know, my 20-year-old Corvette, I don't believe ever had the coolant change. Now, granted, it only has 25,000 miles on it, but I did that service last December, you know, I'm hoping that it will certainly go at least another 25,000 miles. But one of the things that concerns me are the hoses. Now, you know, the car has been sitting for 20 years with coolant inside the hoses, and hoses today are different than they were back in the 70s.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, and they tended back in the day to rot from the inside out.
Yeah, because when they were made out of rubber, the thermal cycles, the hot, cold, eventually would deteriorate the rubber from inside. Now they're made out of neoprene, nitrile, all kinds of high-tech composite material. And really, you don't see a lot of hose issues anymore.
Well, I'm glad that you said that, because I can only imagine what it would cost to replace hoses on the Corvette.
Probably shouldn't be too difficult. You know, the hoses I think that tend to be the biggest pain are the heater hoses, you know, because those tend to route through different things and they can be a little squirrely to get on and off. But radiator hoses, well, yeah, because you got to take all that shrouding out to get to the lower one. But it's not overly difficult. But again, hoses really don't fail at the rate they used to back in the 60s and 70s.
So technically you could do it in a day, like a Saturday afternoon or Saturday.
Easily.
Conrad, it's great to talk to you, my friend. You take care of yourself,
Thanks, guys.
We expect to see you back in the studio next week.
And I appreciate you letting me sit in for you. By no means is I don't have your knowledge or expertise, but thank you very much for that.
Jeffrey, you did a great job. Earlier, Jerry Emmons was on Facebook, and he said, hey, you know, I got to tune into In Wheel Time every morning, every Saturday morning, kind of like when I was a kid watching Fat Albert. I said, hey, I resemble that remark.
Hey.
Conrad, we'll talk to you next weekend. Thanks, my friend. Some of the stories making auto news headlines this week: GM will replace all battery modules in Chevy Bolts that were recalled last month, rather than only defective modules. The module replacements, which could start as early as this month, come after GM recalled its 2017 through 19 model year Bolt battery-powered cars for the second time in less than a year. Two fire incidents were reported after the initial recall, including one in a Bolt that had updated software. Affected customers can visit certified EV dealers for the repair. As of 2019, about half of the Chevy dealers across the United States were EV certified.
Wow.
This might be the age of the electric, but Nissan just redesigned its iconic Z car with a boost of gasoline-powered horsepower with a high-output 3-liter V6 power plant. The new Z is a 400-horsepower twin-turbo retro-style piece of eye candy.
Oh, boy.
Gaining 68 horsepower and 30% increase in torque. It's the first time the Z has packed 400 horsepower or more. Retro styled on the outside, high tech on the inside. The redesign is partly homage to the car's origins and partly a signal for Nissan's new direction. The standard setup mates the engine to a 6-speed manual transmission.
My brother owns these. He's had several.
Yeah, well, great car. I got to see it. Our good friend Steve Parrott from Nissan brought it along with the other new metal from Nissan down back last January, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to see it and take pictures of the new Z, and it is strikingly good looking. And you have probably seen pictures of that yellow one.
Yep.
That was the pre-production model that's made all the show circuits, and it is quite attractive.
He doesn't drive his in a winter. It parks it in winter. He's up in the snow country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to have to take a quick break here, and we're going to wrap things up from the Loopy Tortilla and this month's In Wheel Time remote here at the Tailpipes and Tacos.
All right.
Stay with us.
We all know about aftermarket and online parts stores, and each one has something to offer, but they don't offer original factory parts. That's where Bayway comes in. For original factory parts, visit the Bayway stores first. Give them a call or stop by. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Bayway Chevy, and Bayway Lincoln carry a complete line of parts for the do-it-yourselfer. Keeping your newer classic original means a lot, and you can count on these fully stocked parts departments to help keep it that way. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Bayway Chevy, and Bayway Lincoln, keeping it original. Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier monthly car cruise-in, returns Saturday, September 18th at two Loopy Tortilla Mexican restaurants in Katy and inside the Loop on the Southwest Freeway near Kirby. Tailpipes and Tacos is free and everyone's invited. You'll see collector cars, hot rods, customs, magnificent originals, and resto mods at two locations. Cars from all over Southeast Texas cruise in and show off in a friends and family event at the Loopy Tortilla Mexican Restaurant on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10 in Katy, and inside the Loop on the Southwest Freeway near Kirby. Drag racer, car enthusiast, and Loopy founder Stan Holt brings you Houston's hottest cruise in, Tailpipes and Tacos, inside the Loop on the Southwest Freeway in Kirby, and in Katy on the Grand Parkway just south of I-10, where you'll see the In Wheel Time car show. Get your ride ready, and we'll see you at the Tailpipes and Tacos Saturday morning cruise-in, September 18th, 8 to 11 a.m., weather permitting. Gulf Coast Auto Shield has moved to a more convenient location. Now you can visit John Gray and his staff of dedicated professionals at their new shop on the South Sam Houston Parkway between Belford and Airport in Southwest Houston. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is the best at paint correction and ceramic coatings. Clear bras and custom wraps are specialties that only Gulf Coast Auto Shield installs with award-winning accuracy. And all their services come with a warranty. Lamborghini, Aston Martin, Porsche, and Ferrari owners depend on Gulf Coast Auto Shield for their specialty services, and you should too. The in-wheel time Corvette and Cutlass have both been massaged by Gulf Coast Auto Shield, so isn't it time your vehicle visit their new shop in Southwest Houston? Call John Gray today at 832-930-5655 or visit online at gcautoshield.com. That's gcautoshield.com. Paint, coatings, wraps, and more at gcautoshield.com.
Well, that's a wrap for another episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. When you're on Facebook, please give us a like, tell your friends about us, and share our junk, if you will. You'll get Conrad's Unicorn Hunting Features, along with all things automotive, all week long on Facebook. The In Wheel Time Car Show streams live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and on InWheelTime.com every Saturday, 8 to 11 Central Time. Podcasts are available from your favorite podcast outlet 7 days a week. Special thanks to all of our guests today. The In Wheel Time chief engineer is David Ainsley. Our marketing manager and video technical director is We Need More, Jeff Zekin.
We do.
For booking agent and podcast man Mike Out of This World Mars.
There he is.
His royalty, King Conrad DeLong, I'm Don Armstrong. Hey, if you missed any of our Saturday live broadcast, again, catch the 30-minute podcast segments updated daily on your favorite audio and video streaming platforms. Today's show was a Quinn Martin production. And by Fiestas Mas Cervezas.
Okay.
That's the best I could do in my Spanish.
Still, I got it.
Have a great weekend. Stay safe and cool like you know you are. We'll see you next weekend.
That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.